Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to day four of the Govardhan retreat. Welcome back to Vrindavan. Welcome back to Govardhan. We are beginning immediately with His Grace Burijan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Pristaya Mutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharane, Nivasesha Sanyavadi, Pashkatya Dezatarane. Om Aginatamidandasya, Jana Jana Salakaya, Saksu Samadatan Jaina Tasmai, Sri Gurave Nama. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam, Stapitam Jaina Bhutale. Sayam Rupa Kadamayam the Dati Sapandantika. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayebhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna. I wanted to read something that was relevant from yesterday's class and speak a little bit about a question that naturally comes up when we hear about Sudama's, rather Krishna's ideal relationship with his spiritual master. And I even received a question that what happens if we don't have that type of an intimate relationship with our spiritual master? So I'd like to speak a bit about that, but before that, I'd like to read something about what really struck me as I was studying, not just reading, but studying and trying my best to think about the deep meaning that's being revealed in the pastimes of Krishna, along with his teacher, Sandipani Muni in Avantipur in Ujjain. So What really struck me very, very deeply, I'd say it was one of the deepest points that hit me. And I think it was a, practically speaking, a transformational point. It struck me that deep is that what Krishna really wants and what Krishna consciousness is really about and what Goloka Vrindavan is really about. It's about, we already know it, but it just struck me again. It's about bhakti. It's not about the external activity as much as the sincere and affectionate devotional offerings that we make. So when I thought about that and the need for that, of course, I was it was very humbling also, because one of the dangers of doing something every day is that it tends to become mechanical, and mechanical means with no feeling, it means with no bhakti at all. So in any case, after thinking about how the dealings in Gurukula between Krishna and his teacher, and Krishna and the other students even, and Sudama and Balaram, how filled they were with bhakti, especially how Krishna learned the system that he learned in, that he served, and the teacher's heart melted. And he bestowed upon him everything that he had. And so this is what I wrote spontaneously as I was studying this to a friend, Nittai. This is what I wrote. What really struck me as I studied Krishna's time with his guru in Gurukula is how personal Krishna's education was. He lived with a teacher, his guru, Sandipani Muni. And there, Krishna naturally underwent hardships to serve and please his teacher. And as a natural reciprocation in return for his students' heartfelt actions, his heartfelt service, the teacher, Sandipani Muni, shared his knowledge. He trained Krishna, and offered Krishna his heartfelt blessings. The entire exchange was neither mechanical nor automatic. But it was a reciprocation of affection, of bhakti. And bhakti, this is the taste that pleases Krishna. Education then becomes quite a clear path. The giving of knowledge, the service, the blessings, all simple and sincere and naturally enacted with gratitude and bhakti. But today's education and everything else, getting food, for example, is so different, so impersonal, so unsatisfying, so bhakti-less. Instead of growing your vegetables and in doing so interacting in an intra-dependent way with the earth, the sun, the clouds, the rain, and the sky, one's experiences foster the view that vegetables, wheat, rice, milk, and fruit are produced from the aisles of a supermarket. Instead of interacting with weavers, tailors, and blacksmiths, our experiences today train us to view all products as manufactured in factories. Facts, skills, wisdom, and even medical advice is bestowed upon us by the internet, the great World Wide Web. The members of our virtual community are our internet friends, likes, followers. These virtual non-realities become significant to us. Yet, despite all the gratification it produces, a sad and impersonal deadness, a sad and impersonal deadness overwhelms our Kali Yuga hearts and removes from our thought processes all finer sentiments. We thus become more and more selfish, miserable, and lonely. No longer does one have the finer sentiment that a cow is our mother because she supplies milk, nor a bull is our father because the farmer uses him to till the earth and produce grains that sustain us. Let them therefore be killed when they are no longer economically profitable. Instead of having finer sentiments, children grow up with their first experiences of life being a virtual world, an illusory world within an illusory world, but dangerously alive with games filled with immediate gratification, war, conquest, and violence. This is Kali Yuga consciousness. So this is more or less what spontaneously came to me in my consciousness after studying this incredible pastime of Krishna in the Gurukula, serving, living, giving an example of what education can and should be. So, and then comes the question though. Yes, this is ideal, this is wonderful, and we may yearn for this type of intimate service and training with our guru. Few actually will have it. Srila Prabhupada, I even heard him say this, just myself and Zarkini Mataji and one other devotee, Tusta Krishnaraj, was in the room with Prabhupada in Melbourne in 1975. And he said, I wish I could train all my disciples personally, but what can I do? Because Krishna had given him a different order, a different inspiration, a different instruction. But what he did do, and that was that instruction, that inspiration, was to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and all over the universe practically. But what he did do was train his senior disciples to train the younger disciples, it was also like that in every traditional Gurukula. Prabhupada also trained us in to consider vani or instruction more important a way of association than vapu, than physical association. And Srila Prabhupada's own example of seeing his spiritual master only 5 or 6 times was really to that point. And Prabhupada, on the other hand, was so strongly focused with a serving mood on the instructions, on the desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He knew his heart, he knew his desire, and he even had a personal instruction in this regard. So he focused and meditated and acted and associated always and was trained in that sense by that divine order. So also what we can do if we don't have that facility, and most of us again will not have that facility, we should focus on our part in the relationship with our spiritual master, with Krishna, because there are 2 parts in every relationship, my part and the other person's part. And we often focus on what the other person's part is, and that helps not at all. But if we focus on what our part is, we should take shelter of service. Then, somehow or another, by the power of bhakti, by the power of that sincere attempt to please, Krishna will somehow or another, by virtue of that attitude, will reciprocate. And he, the Adiguru, the Chaitya Guru, he will do his part. After all, again, he is the Chaitya Guru. He's within everyone's heart. Savasya Chahamradhi Sanavisto. He's the Adi Guru. He's the original Guru. And if we sincerely try to do our part to please Krishna, then somehow or another, Krishna will guide us. As our Satchinanda Maharaj was saying, that Giriraj will talk to you. So either through the King of Mountains or through Panchanga Bhakti, which we should also take shelter of, through the association of devotees, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the deities, the Dham, and the holy names, Krishna will take care of every sincere devotee if somehow or another, by the circumstances, he has no other way to take care of through directly through the spiritual master. So many gurus, Shiksha gurus, Prabhupada's books, and he will take care of everyone. What I see, the only problem is, it comes from me, is that there's a lack of sincerity, lack of sincere attempt. The lack is not on the other side. So I just wanted to sort of catch up with yesterday's something that really struck me and that touched me, and let's see if it really transforms me, but it really entered within me from studying that section of the Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna's time in Gurukula. Now, Krishna was explaining that to Sudama. They were recalling their times together in the Gurukula. And then there they were back. And Sudama had come all the way to see Krishna on the request of his wife to beg some wealth so that they could live just live practically speaking. But and Sudama had brought with him that chipped rice that his wife had begged, and he had tied it up in some old cloth, and he had tied that into his rags, practically speaking. And Krishna, the first verse in this 81st chapter, it says that Krishna, Lord Hari, he perfectly knows the hearts of all living beings. Now there's just a message that popped up. Please This isn't the best time to be reading messages on the screen, though. But thank you. Please listen to this. It's just a simple, it's the Bhagavatam. It's a simple part of an introduction, almost saying something else, saying that Krishna knew that Sudama had brought something with him. So Krishna, Lord Hari, perfectly knows the heart of all living beings. Well, that means he also knows my heart. And if there's some lack that I'm experiencing, he also knows that. And if there's some sincere devotion that I'm experiencing, he knows that. We read carefully the Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam being Krishna, like the holy names of Krishna, like the Dham is no different from Krishna, like the deity is no different from Krishna, like the devotees are Krishnas. They're alive and they are fully capable of reciprocating and training us if we keep our consciousness awake, sincere, and open. So Krishna, being especially devoted to the Brahmanas, the Supreme Lord, who is the goal of all saintly persons, while he was speaking in this way with the best of the twice born, with Sudama, with his friends, he spoke the following words. And all the time, while he was speaking, he was looking at Sudama. Beautiful Krishna was looking at Sudama and smiling. He was smiling because he saw the bundle of chipped rice that Sudama was carrying. He knew it and he wanted it. And the last thing that Sudama wanted at this time was to give it to him, because he saw Krishna's opulence. He saw that Krishna was the husband of the goddess of fortune. And there he was with some meager, begged, stale, chipped rice. How could he present this to Krishna as a gift? But Krishna decided, I want it, because it is given with Sudama and his wife's devotion. So he was glancing at Sudama with great joy, our acharyas say. Deva Goswami says he was looking at him with joy, with pleasure, with curiosity. And he said, oh, Brahmana, as if he didn't know, what gift have you brought me from home? I want to read this verse, because it is, in one sense, the essence of the message that is reassuring. Because before we were watching Sudama, and now we're watching Krishna and getting to know Krishna, because we have to know the quality of this person. Yes, he's a person. He's a supreme person. What is his quality? Is he some cruel master sitting upon a throne throwing thunderbolts at everyone? If you don't do what I say, no, this is Krishna's mood. He says, this is the third verse, Kim upayanam anittam. What have you brought me? Brahma me bhavato grihat. Oh, Brahmana, what have you brought me from your home, from your grihat, from your home? Anu means infinitesimal. Anu. Anu, or small, like we know, Parama Anu, the smallest, supreme smallest, or the atom. Anu up aparitam bhakta, that even if my bhakta brings me something so insignificant, premna buddhi eva me bhavet. But he brings it with pure love, and that is the issue. If he brings it with pure love, with unselfishness, with, please accept this. This is all I have. Please accept this. Indeed, it becomes very, very great for me. And then on the other hand, because he uses the word buddhi many times in this chapter, on the other hand, buddhi abhakta uparitam, that if a non-devotee brings me something that's buddhi, that's very great, but a non-devotee, because a non-devotee means no love, no devotion. If he brings me something, na me toshaya, I am not satisfied. Kalpate, that gift is not sufficient to give me satisfaction. So go to the next, please. This is the BBT English translation. The Supreme Lord said, O Brahmana, what gift have you brought me from your home? I regard as great even the smallest gift offered by my devotees in pure love. Anu uparitam, but even buddhi, great offerings presented by non-devotees, they don't bring me any tushyati, they bring me no satisfaction. And then, in the next verse, Krishna speaks again. And it's not that he quotes the Bhagavad Gita, but he says the Bhagavad Gita verse, very famous from the 9th chapter, 26th verse. He says, it's patram pushpam palam toyam, yo me bhakta priyachati, taraham bhakta paritam asnami paratatmanaha. That if you bring me something, even if it's a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. I will eat it. If it's done, bhakti paritam. If it's done with some devotion, some desire to please me with bhakti. So, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and the purport, the BBT purport, they say, well, let me just read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. I accept whatever my devotee offers with devotion. Something may be tasty, something may not be tasty, but that which is given by my devotee with devotion, thinking that it's tasty, thinking that I'll enjoy it, it becomes very tasty to me. It becomes very tasty to me without me thinking twice about it. The vision of Chakravarti Thakur says. And even more astounding, bewildered by the prema, by the love of my devotee, I also eat the flower that he offers, which is acceptable, but it's not edible. Do I not eat that? I eat that from my devotee who has a pure heart and from no one else. Or I eat that from a mind, from the mind of my devotee who's fixed in devotion only. I accept his offering and no one else's. So even after Krishna was speaking in this way and encouraging Sudama, Sudama was so hesitant. His mood was, you've requested me. This is the Srila Vishnu of Chakravarti Thakur is saying, please, Lord, don't make me ashamed of the gift that I brought for you. I know you've requested me again and again to give it to you. But I've made up my mind. Looking at how meager it is, how small it is, how unsuitable it is, I've made up my mind not to give it to you. And Krishna says to him, because Krishna wants it. He wants this gift. He's hungry for it. He thinks the intention is so important. The intention with which you brought this gift to me. You carried it all the way as you walked from Sudama Puri. You didn't throw it away. You didn't throw it in the water. It didn't become burdensome for you. You've carried it with you, and your desire that you intended me to have it should not be frustrated. Why? Because you are my devotee. If you want to make this offering, you please make it. And Sudama was embarrassed because Krishna was the husband of the goddess of fortune. So it was very difficult for him to give this to Krishna. Now, and here's a comment that will come out by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in the next verse that really struck me. It answers, it begins the answer to the question about how Krishna, or why Krishna allowed Sudama to fall into this circumstance. Being the direct witness, this is text 6 and 7, in the hearts of all being, Lord Krishna fully understood why Sudama had come to see him. He came to beg some wealth. Thus he thought, in the past, my friend has never worshipped me out of a desire for material opulence, but now he comes to me to satisfy his chaste and devoted wife. And Krishna at this time decided to give him wealth and riches that even the demigods cannot attain. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as described in the BBT purport here, he says that the Lord, who already said so many times that he knows everything, he wondered, how is it that my devotee has become so poor and did not even get sufficient food to maintain himself? How has this happened? I know everything, and still it has happened. So Krishna is saying, somehow or another, I wasn't aware of this. How could the Supreme Lord, who is omniscient, who knows everything, not be aware of the condition of his devotee? So then immediately a doubt comes into my mind. Well, if he's not going to be aware of Sudama, who's such a great devotee and his friend, well, how about, and I doubt again, after hearing all these glorious explanations of Krishna's giving to his devotee, the doubt comes to me again. What happens if I give everything to Krishna, but Krishna somehow forgets about little me? Who's going to take care of me? But this will be answered fully at the very, very, very end. But for now, our acharyas say that Krishna wondered for a moment, and then he thought, I have two kinds of pure devotees. One is like Jadabharat, who is completely averse to any type of a material enjoyment. And Sudama is like that. And when devotees are like that, I don't force any material enjoyment on them. But there's another kind of devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj, who is not averse, he's not against anything material, he sees it neutrally. He sees material things as my energy. He doesn't want to enjoy them, he's not against them. This is the principle that Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Rupa Goswami emphasize, yukta vairagya, everything is Krishna's energy, it should be used in his service. So for those kind of devotees, our acharya says, this is how Krishna is thinking, for those kind of devotees, I give them all wealth. But Sudama was against, so therefore I would not push that upon him. So Srila Prabhupada once said, in the very early days of the movement, when in the place where he grew up, in Mahatma Gandhi Road in Calcutta, They used to have a picture there on the altar. This was long after Prabhupada left, actually, that I even saw, of a picture of one Indian sadhu, one famous Bengali Indian sadhu, and someone is offering him money, and he's going like this. And Prabhupada said, "You can take a photo of me with someone is offering me money, and I'll go like this. Come, give more, give more, give more." Because it's Krishna, Lakshmi is meant to serve Narayan, and unlimited money is required, unlimited facility is required to spread Krishna consciousness. So Krishna was thinking like this, and then immediately, as soon as the desire came in Sudama's heart to get some wealth, then immediately Krishna made an arrangement. So while Krishna was thinking like this, he immediately, he personally grabbed it, because Sudama was too ashamed of the meager offering to give it to him. He grabbed it, that flat rice, that chair that was tied up in the old cloth, and he began to eat it. As Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, he's thinking, Krishna is saying to Sudama, don't think that this isn't suitable for me. I actually like it very much. Don't think it isn't enough for me. I find it very tasty and it satisfies me. And I am the embodiment of the whole universe, and this satisfies me. So Krishna ate one palm full of the rice, and he was just about to eat more, and Rukmini Devi, the goddess of fortune, stopped him. And she's very, very clever, and everything spoken in the land of Krishna, in the realm of Krishna, is very, very sweet. Everything is done in such a sweet way. So she said, "Please, my lord, don't eat anymore." "Why?" "Because by your being satisfied with this one palmful, he is going to get so much riches, which ultimately come from your satisfaction. And if you eat a second palmful, he will have completely captured the goddess of fortune. And not only that, if you eat it all, there won't be any remnants for me and the other residents of the palace. So please don't eat anymore." And then she turned to one of her assistants and took that. And with a gesture, she said, "This rice isn't suitable for my lord's tender stomach." Why didn't she just tell that to the Lord? Because Sudama would hear it and he'd feel so bad. So she spoke in such a sweet way. These are the sweet dealings in Krishna's pastimes. So Sudama spent the night in the palace, and he was honored by Lord Krishna, and he felt great delight. This Sukadev Goswami is telling to Maharaj Prakrit. And then after feeling great delight, He the next morning, he left for his home. Krishna accompanied him so for some distance. They were talking very gently. Sudama offered Krishna respect. Krishna circumambulated Sudama. And then without even meeting Balaram, Sudama feeling great joy, and without asking Krishna for anything, Sudama feeling great joy, left, walking. So Sudama began to think in his joy, in his thinking about Krishna. Now we've watched Krishna, we've heard about Krishna's mood and Krishna's sweetness and Krishna's way of dealing, how Krishna accepts a little bit and sees it as so much. now we're back to watching Sudama, who came back after seeing Krishna with less than he went, because he didn't even have that chipped rice with him. And he thought, this is the most wonderful thing. I'm the most fortunate person. I'm the most fortunate person because I've had the darshan, I've had the audience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I've heard that he's devoted to the brahmanas. And I've written out a short summary of the verses that he was thinking, Sudama was thinking, and I've mixed it with the commentaries of the acharyas. Now I know, Sudama said, how devoted the Lord is to the Brahmins. He wasn't thinking because I'm his devotee, because I'm his friend. No, it's because I'm a Brahmana. I'm born in a Brahmana family and he's devoted to me. I'm so fortunate because he who embraces the goddess of fortune embraced me, the poorest of beggars who cannot even afford the proper dress of wearing two pieces of cloth. And he who holds Lakshmi Devi to his chest, he embraced me, who was obviously unworthy of embrace. And then comes a very famous verse, Kraham Dridhira Papayam. And who am I? I am Dridhira, I am poor. I am Papayan. I am sinful, because that is why I'm poor. Kra Krishna Srina Ketam. Who is Krishna? He's the abode of Sri, the goddess of fortune. Brahma Bandur Iti Smaham. And who am I again? I'm just a miserable friend of a Brahman. I'm not actually a Brahman at all. This is who I am. Babubyam Parirambitaha. And the Lord somehow or another embraced me. And Sudama was thinking himself the possessor of the greatest fortune. My poverty is due to my sins and my misdeeds and offenses. And in no way am I special. And yet, that Supreme Lord, the husband of Lakshmi Devi, who has all wealth and power, he treated me with such respect. And he embraced me again and again. He thought that the Lord embraced me. Can we even imagine what it is like to be embraced with arms of Satchidananda by Krishna? But still more amazing, Sudama says, more amazing than him embracing me, he sat me on Rukmini Devi's couch, where he always sits and she sits. And he did this with great respect and affection, as if I was his younger brother, like Gada. And then, as I was tired from my long travels, Rukmini Devi, the goddess of fortune, she herself fanned me with the chamara. Although he is worshipped by the devatas, although he's the lord of the brahmanas, Krishna himself worshipped me with chandan, with sandalwood, as if I, this poor, miserable creature, was a devata. He worshipped me as if I was his family deity. Rukmini, the goddess of fortune, herself fanned this poor brahmana. He then massaged my feet, applied ointments to my body. And then, in the two final verses of his musing, of his thinking, Sudama said, worship of Krishna's feet, bhakti, causes all wealth on earth, heavenly planets, lower planets, all power. It is bhakti ultimately. These things cannot happen with at least some bhakti. And that worship destroys repeated birth and death. It also awards the attainment of heaven, of swargaloka. And even if one performs other methods to get there, obstacles must occur. So bhakti has gives everything. But excuse me. But not even performing different processes, but just by remembering his lotus feet, every goal is perfectly awarded. But most amazingly, I performed no bhakti. I only offered him a handful of lowly chipped rice. And finally, go to the next verse, please. Out of his great kindness, the Lord offered me nothing. He offered me nothing to remove my poverty. He did this out of his great wisdom. Please put on the next verse. And he was thinking, if this poor wretch, if this person, he was so kind to me, Adano, if this means this poor person, if he, Dhanam Prapya, if he gets some wealth, Madhyan Uchar Namam Smarat, he'll be so absorbed in that wealth, he will not remember me. He will forget me. Iti, this is Sunama thing, Iti Kuruna Konunam. And therefore, out of his mercy, Dhanam Me Aburi Nadadat, out of his kindness and mercy, he did not give me a bodhi means heavy, a bodhi means slight. He did not give me dhanam. He did not give me a slight amount of wealth out of his kindness. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur translates that in a different way. And he says, out of his kindness, Dhanam me aburi nadadat. He didn't give me a slight amount of wealth. He embraced me. He gave me so much love. He gave me the greatest amount of wealth. And I am the most wealthy because of Krishna. His mercy to me. So this is the glory of these Sanskrit words and the comments of our acharyas. So then Sudama kept walking, and I must speed up a little bit here. And then suddenly he sees what had happened. He sees that Krishna indeed had bestowed upon him the most incredible wealth. The wealth of Indra Dev had descended and transformed his old hut with the water would come through the roof, and it was just old mats, and it was transformed into the most opulent palace. He got there and he looked at this. He saw the birds that were now cooing and making their sounds. He saw the ponds full of lotuses. He saw the great, tall, celestial, heavenly palaces. And he saw that he had so many servants, and all the servants had beautiful lotus eyes, and they were looking at him. And they were saluting him as if he was their master. And then he saw his wife come. But she was no longer his wife. He didn't recognize her. She was a beautiful demigoddess, practically speaking. And there he was, still emaciated Sudama. And as soon as she saw him, then he himself transformed into a celestial form. Because if he came in that form originally, then his wife would not relate to him because she was a chaste wife. But so first she had to see him in the form that she had previously known him with in. And then after seeing that by Krishna had attended to even that detail. And then they went into the house. And Krishna and Sudama began to think. His wife was crying at this time. Tears were coming from her eyes. And she was dressed in finery and jewelry and lockets and everything like that. So Sukadeva Goswami describes how the pillars of the house had gems and jewels, and the beds were soft and white, something like Krishna's house, but heavenly. And Sudama began to think, I've always been poor. And he began to consider how this had happened, something that we see as obvious at this moment. And Sudama thought, this could have only happened by the mercy, by the kindness, by the benediction of my friend Krishna. And when he saw everything as Krishna's gift, his attitude towards wealth, towards the material energy, it completely changed. He saw it as Krishna's gift. Now, he began to think. Krishna knew when I met him, because he knows everyone's heart. He knew that I secretly intended to beg from him. True. And thus, although he said nothing about his gift to me and fulfilling my desires when I was with him, he actually bestowed upon me the most abundant riches. In this way, he acted like a merciful rain cloud that pours down rain at night when the farmer is asleep and the farmer doesn't realize how much he's been given. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes something about Krishna's mind and the reason why Krishna didn't say anything to Sudama. He walked him to the gate. They offered respects and affectionate, gentle words, but Krishna didn't mention anything about what he had done. Why? So in the BBT purport, and coming from the words of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the fully illuminated mind of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he reveals Krishna's thinking. Krishna was thinking, I am the Lord of everything. I'm the embodiment of all the wealth that exists. Sudama wanted to give me a gift, but he didn't have anything. So he had his wife go out begging, and she brought a gift. She brought these four palmfuls of chipped rice, which was more than they owned themselves. He gave me more than he owned, in the more that he possessed. But look at my gift. I possess everything. There's nothing more than what I possess. So in that sense, my gift to Sudama, my reciprocation with Sudama, yayatam mam prapadyante, I cannot give him in an equal way to what he's given me, because he's given me more than he possessed, and there is nothing more than I possess. So I have lost this transcendental competition in bhakti. And as Sudama was embarrassed to give Krishna his gift, Krishna was still more embarrassed to give Sudama his gift, because it wasn't of equal quality and value. He was embarrassed, and therefore he walked away without saying or presenting Sudama anything in his embarrassment. This is Krishna. And this is what he said earlier, before he said Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam. He said, when my devotee offers me something small, but when done with devotion, I accept it as great. Sudama considered more, and he makes this point right now. The Lord considers even his, but he puts it the other way. The Lord considers even his greatest benediction to be insignificant. And while he considers even his greatest benediction to be insignificant. What he gives, it's insignificant, but he magnifies, make it greater, even a small service rendered to him by his well-wishing devotee. Is this encouraging for our attempts at giving something to Krishna? Of giving something to Krishna's representative? I saw Prabhupada once look at a bookmark in Mayapur in 1976 that one Mataji disciple had given him. And he said, some people would say that I shouldn't accept this because it's from a woman and I'm a sannyasi. But she's given it with so much devotion. She's made it with so much devotion. And he didn't say anymore. It was a bookmark. Thus, with pleasure, magnifying my gift, he accepted a single palmful of the flat rice that I brought him. Now, 36, please. Kashyaiva me sodhya sakya maitri, that for him, indeed, eva, for him, tasya eva, what my desire, meditating upon the qualities of my Lord, my friend, Krishna, my desire is sorida sakya dasya maitri, or sorida sakya maitri dasyam. I desire, because he's so touched, he's so softened, he's so melted, he's so filled with the bhakti because he's seeing how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees in such a way, even though this devotee, Sudama, thought I'm not even a devotee. I want sorida, I want affection to he who is so compassionate to his devotees. I want sakya, I want friendship, I desire to live in his company. I want maitri in the BBT. It is translated as sympathy, but in the purport, it is sympathy or intimate camaraderie, intimate friendship. And dasyam, I want to serve him. Puna janmani janmani syat. I want to repeatedly serve him, birth after birth, life after life, if that's what will happen. How could one not be touched as Sudama was touched? And then maha anubhavena, guna alena, vijatyas tad purusha prasanga, because that's what he wanted, but he wanted one other thing too. He wanted to focus his mind only on Krishna and his relationship with Krishna. So our acharyas asked, does that mean that he only wants Krishna and he doesn't want the other devotees? And the answer to that is no. May I also cultivate firm attachment for him by the precious association of his devotees. I want the association of the devotees, because in the association of devotees, naturally, the talking about Krishna, how revealing our minds, revealing one's minds on how Krishna, how kind Krishna is, what our realizations are, these linear relationships. We tend to only look for this upper relationship and please bless me. But it's the linear relationships. And our acharyas say the best kind of association is someone a little bit more advanced than us. So by sharing realizations, bodhiyantas paraspara, by sharing realizations and talking about Krishna in this very linear way, then everyone develops such affection, such love for Krishna, such, yes, Sasudama also wants that. And Sanatana Goswami, in his comment on this verse, was, he said, but you want attachment in prema? That is very difficult to achieve. And Sanatana Goswami answers, that is true, but by his power, Maha Anubhavena, it can happen. Now the next verse, and as we near the very end of the chapter, the 37th verse, there's one word, a few words, Adurga Bodhaya Vichakshana. The verse says, to a devotee in English who lacks spiritual insight, the Supreme Lord will not grant the wonderful opulences of this world. So it's explaining how the kingly powers, all the opulence that Sudama got, that he's explaining that somehow Krishna has given this to me. So one could say that because of Sudama's spiritual maturity, he's given it to him. And Prabhupada explains this in the Krishna book very, very, very strongly, how Sudama lived in this way, very detached. And he says that if someone is not mature, and the words he uses, Adurga Bodhaya, who has short, Durga means long, and Dirga, and Adirga means short, the opposite of long. Bodhaya means knowledge or wisdom. Then Krishna won't give this wealth. So therefore, in the purport, it says, Sudama is thinking that I should be very careful how I deal with this wealth. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, again, he translates this word, Adurga Bodhaya, in a different way. Durga means long. And Bodhayan means wisdom. And instead of putting it Adurga, meaning short, he says wisdom, long wisdom of as in Om, the first letter of Om, or the Supreme Lord. So when one has long wisdom or great wisdom about the Supreme Lord, then the Lord won't give him this wealth. Instead, he'll give him pure, unmotivated, loving devotional service. And look at me. I don't have that wisdom. So look what Krishna gave me. So Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakur changes the meaning around in that way. So because I'm already going a little bit over, I wanted to mention one last verse in verse 40. Excuse me, 40, yes. What happened to Sudama and why he ended up in this position? and why Krishna let him go into that position. So the 40th verse, which is the next to last verse, if we could put that on. Evam sa vipro bhagavat surit tada, that thus this brahmana, who was the Supreme Lord's friend, seeing drisva swa britya ajitam parajita, seeing how the Lord is controlled and conquered by his servants, seeing how the Lord reciprocates with the devotees, tadhyana vego udgrat gratatma bandhas, he, dhyana, he just meditated on the qualities of the Lord because the Lord had touched him so deeply. He just meditated and meditated and meditated on the Lord. And by thinking about the Lord with such depth, whatever coverings that were there in his consciousness, whatever slight traces were there in his consciousness of illusion, they were removed by this constant meditation on the Lord, who had touched him with such, he touched him with such great love, and he meditated and thought about him with such great love. And therefore, by his constant meditation, in a very short time, he attained the Lord, Supreme Lord's abode, either Vaikuntha or Dwarka, the Acharyas say. So, what happened and why did Krishna leave him in such a poverty-stricken condition for so long? One reason, one studies this pastime, one sees that Krishna had not forgotten Sudama. He was continuously blessing him. Sudama was a fully detached and renounced Brahmana devotee, but he had a desire in his heart to live that way. And as Jagatrini Mataji pointed out to me yesterday, that Sandipani Muni had actually blessed Sudama along with Krishna, saying, may your desires all be fulfilled. So there he was, living as a renounced, detached, poverty-stricken Brahmana. But as our Acharyas noted, Krishna would not force him to take anything against his desire, as he didn't force Jagbharat. Yet there was an attachment to this in Sudama. He was attached to the concept of himself being a renounced, renunciant Brahmana. He had a little pride. And Krishna let him live out that pride. He hadn't forgotten him. He let him live it out for some time. And then at some point, he said, enough. And Krishna, the greatest of doctors, then prescribed his special medicine for Sudama. And he brought him to Dwarka. He gave him that medicine unbeknownst to him, and it was material wealth. But it wasn't considered by Sudama material wealth at all. But it was the medicine that he needed that removed the concept from his life, from his consciousness, that I am a renounced, detached Brahmana. But rather, through his meditation on Krishna and Krishna's wonderful kindness and Krishna's wonderful qualities and Krishna's wonderful mercy to him, by meditating upon that, that concept was removed. And he became not averse, but detached, and used everything in Krishna's service. Some of our Acharyas explain he kept on sleeping on the floor, But he used everything in Krishna service and no longer was averse. And then the verse says that very, very soon, acharat, very soon, very soon, because this last obstacle of attachment to something that was basically spiritual, that concept that was assisting the spiritual, that detachment from matter, but because it was tinged with pride, something that we should be very careful of. And therefore, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says that first of all, hitva dambha, first we have to give up pride. This is his first instruction in his manasiksha. And then when that was gone, immediately, achara, very soon, Krishna took him home. He took him home to Vaikuntha, to Dwarka. But another little point that is revealed, or before we just mention this point, that I'll say that in the final verse, it says that anyone who hears this account of the Supreme Lord's kindness to... No, don't put on the verse, please. Don't put on the verse. Don't put on the verse, please. Anyone who hears this, of the kindness of the Supreme Lord to Brahmanas, because of their purity, because of their qualities, what qualities did Siddhama have? When he was miserable, he saw it as Krishna's mercy. When he saw Krishna and had no wealth, he saw it as Krishna's mercy. When he got so much wealth, he saw it as Krishna's mercy. If one hears about this, his kindness, one will come to develop love for the Lord and thus become freed from the bondage of material work. So wonderful about Sudama and the benedictions he got in his meditation by experiencing the qualities of Krishna in his own life. And this is what our life is for. To do service and we were talking about this in the beginning, we do service, we accept some service and do it for Krishna's pleasure and see how Krishna reciprocates and begin to trust Krishna and his reciprocation and discuss it with devotees in the association of devotees of how Krishna is so kind and he's done this, he's done that, try to do some steady service and he will reciprocate. But still, two last points. One point is that why is it that Krishna made poor, weak Sudama Brahmana? He left him at the gate and he left him to walk all the way back. Why didn't he at least send him in a chariot or something like that? So, there is one verse when I read this in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, I became so happy. And the verse was from 11:14:16. With the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. With the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. Thus, I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are freed from all personal desires, wrapped, absorbed in thoughts of my pastimes, who are peaceful without any feelings of enmity and of equal disposition anywhere. So Krishna perhaps was secretly following behind Sudama and wanting Sudama to purify his whole kingdom as he walked home by the dust of his lotus feet. And still one last point. Here in this Bhagavatam, these last 11 chapters in the 10th canto describe, as I mentioned in our first introductory class, they're like a summary. What Krishna wants us to remember, what Srila Vyasadeva or Sukadeva Goswami wants us to remember as we end the Krishna's Vrindavan Leela Krishna's Leela and Bhoomi Leela. So this is the first of those chapters, the first two of those chapters, and how, like Sudama, one can attain, one sees the exalted consciousness of someone who will attain the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Dwarka. But in the next chapter, in the 82nd chapter, where Krishna meets the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra, we will experience a still more wonderful level of devotion. We will see the most incredible devotion of the residents of Vrindavan, of Nanda Maharaj, of Yashoda, that so captivates Krishna's heart. And then, above all else, we'll see Krishna interacting with the Braja Gopis after having left Vrindavan and not seeing them for several years. And then he meets them at Sannihit Sarova in Kurukshetra, and the interaction is the sweet, it is so sweet that it causes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to dance in ecstasy at Rath Yatra year after year after year. It's bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, because there is Radha and Krishna and the gopis and Nanda Maharaj and the cows, and but without Vrindavan, it is incomplete. And that comes in the next chapter, in the 82nd chapter. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Well, we've gone over again, and I so much wanted to have time for questions and answers. I have a few questions here. One question, as we're waiting, Krishna's identity was concealed from Sandipani Muni. But then, how at the end he asked for extraordinary Guru Dakshin of getting his dead son back, with a view that only Krishna can give it. So in the beginning, he didn't understand who Krishna was or who Balaram was. But gradually, he understood as time went on that this person was actually the Supreme Lord Narayan. And therefore that the place, I'm not sure how the video looked where you were, but it was a bit jumpy on this side. But when the village where Sandipani Muni met Krishna and Sudama after they had spent the night is called Narayan Gaon or Narayan Gram. And the reason it's called Narayan Gram is because when Krishna was there, the guru was calling out, "Oh Narayan, oh Narayan, oh Narayan." And therefore the village is called Narayan Gram. So therefore, after some time, he understood who Krishna actually was, and therefore asked him for such an extraordinary gift as Guru Dakshin. It is also said by Srila Jiva Goswami that it is well known that Krishna took instruction from Sandipani Muni, but what is less well known, Srila Jiva Goswami says, is that Sandipani Muni's philosophical understandings were uplifted by Krishna, and Krishna there in his own way instructed Sandipani Muni. And you can see this, although that Sandipani Muni was a Shiva Bhakta, when you go to the Sandipani Muni's ashram, he's wearing Vaishnava Tilak. Now that after Krishna's visit. So that's one question. And another question is, what are the reasons for Sudama's poverty stricken life and reasons for Krishna allowing that? I tried to answer that at the end of this class. And you said that, another question, you said that we have to know the qualities of the Supreme Lord. Isn't it enough to love Krishna? How can you love someone unless you know their qualities and really love and appreciate their nature and their personality? Yeah, that's part of love. It will be very superficial, fleeting love if we don't really know the person. And knowing the person means knowing the person's qualities and their nature, and the depth of appreciation of that really means love. Now, those are the questions that I have right here, right now. But I remember two from Gaurahari from a previous class, where I asked that that he asked me that Krishna was following strictly brahmachari vows, and therefore he walked all the way to Avantipur in 72 days, but he was also giving in charity. Why wasn't he following? He didn't put it crudely like this. Why wasn't he following that part of brahmachari vows? Well, that Gaugacharya had initiated them into second initiation and given them Gayatri brahmacharya. So there's different kinds of brahmacharyas, like there's different types of householders. So there's different types of vows of brahmacharya that one could take. And this one was for a certain amount of time. And also it was obviously to not travel in any vehicles. And it's obvious also that there was no prohibition against giving charity. And also Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to tell his householder disciples that they must give charity. Otherwise, if you don't give charity, your heart becomes hard. And in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna himself says there are certain things that should never be given up, although many things should be given up, but certain things should never be given up, regardless of how pure one is, even for sannyasis, and that one of those is charity. So that was one question, and there was a second one that I can't remember exactly at this moment. Yes. So, Prashanta? Unless you have some other questions, there are some probably on my screen here, but unfortunately,
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I just sent you another question.
Okay, the state of my glasses, and how do we understand the contradictory statements that on one hand, Krishna felt he can't reciprocate Sudama's gift, and on the other hand, Krishna knew exactly how to cultivate Sudama's devotion by bestowing upon him material opulence. This is from Gilad in Israel. So Krishna is very, he has two parts of his consciousness in one sense. And of course, we can't really understand the incredibly unlimited consciousness, the unlimited consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with our finite mind. But two aspects of his consciousness, as explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, are one is he's Sarvajna, which means he knows everything. And another part is Mugdata, which means more or less that his consciousness is compressed. So at certain times for the experience of rasa, of sweetness in his dealings with devotees, somehow or another, in a way that we can't understand, obviously, his consciousness becomes compressed so he can have increase the sweetness of his exchanges with his devotees. This happens in Vrindavan all the time. It's everything that happens in Vrindavan where Krishna, suddenly he can manifest all his powers and chastise Indra. And another moment, a Mother Yasoda is shaking her finger at him and holding some rope, and tears are truly coming from Krishna's eyes. So this is real. He's not imitating the way that humans act, but he has this inconceivable consciousness that allows him to taste rasa, to basically, it's the sweetness, the madhurya aspect of the relationship that compresses Krishna's consciousness. So many examples can be given of this. Was there another one, or have we already run out of the time that we've already run out of? Here's one. How do you develop complete trust in Krishna when for every devotee that he protects, he chooses to let many of his devotees go through such difficulties that it generates fear in the heart? But you know, this was the message, or one of the main messages that I hope to convey, is that in this class, is that you have to apply this. It's not academic study, as His Holiness Satchidananda Maharaj said in his class. It's not for academic study and to memorize, but it's for application in our life. So we do service. We hear this, and we hear Shastra, and we know that Krishna protects his devotees, and then we do service. And we try to serve Krishna, please him. We do our part. And then we see how Krishna reciprocates. And when we see how Krishna reciprocates with us, when we see that, then like Sudama, we can also meditate on Krishna's wonderful caring for devotees as insignificant and as fallen as I am. And when the devotees who are suffering, as we call suffering, by Krishna not taking care of them, that was another of the messages from this class, that even when Sudama was so-called suffering, Krishna was not neglecting him at all. He was giving him what he wanted with the plan to very soon bring him home. With Maharaj Parikit, he allowed him to become cursed and wicked from our very limited, finite point of view, thinking that if I were the Supreme Lord, I would have done it in a different way. But Krishna had his plan for the Bhagavatam to be spoken and to bring his beloved devotee, Maharaj Parikit, home back to Godhead very soon. So from our perspective, it seems like one thing, but when one looks at our existence, our life from the point of view of eternity, it will seem quite different. So we tend to look at things from the perspective of 1 year is a long time, or 2 years is a long time, or even 15 minutes is a long time, or an hour is a long time. But Krishna sees things from the perspective of eternity. And Srila Prabhupada also saw a sadhu sees from the perspective of eternity. So what's good and what's bad, what's favorable, what's unfavorable, what's auspicious, inauspicious, the perspective really changes when one sees from the point of view of eternity. So how do you develop complete trust in Krishna? So that, I would like to ask you that question myself. What will it take for you to develop complete trust in Krishna? Will you think about that, please? Because it's, in one sense, the most important question, because at the time of our passing from this world, all the extras that we depend on in our life, that we take shelter of in our life when we're in difficulty, they will all be ripped away from us, and there will be us and Krishna. And will you trust him then? So this is life, this is devotional life. And clearly we're going to need the help and association of devotees, at least I will. And I've seen with so many devotees who have left this world, it's one of the opulences of living in Vrindavan. People come there to leave this world, and I've seen how Krishna gives some special help to his devotees. He has so much help to his devotees when it's time for them to leave. And he carries what they have and preserves, he gives them what they lack and preserves what they have. So what will it take for us to really trust that? That's a question we should ask ourselves.